This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manicero, and this is a show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes or Apple Podcast, type in Old Dogs, spelled D-A-W-G-S, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, we've got a good show for you today. We have a gentleman here who is very diverse in his real estate investing. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. His name is Ari Rostegar, and he's the founder and CEO of Rostegar Property Company. He has established reputation as a thought leader in real estate with his innovative, technology-driven investment approach and strategies. Ari's real estate investments span 32 cities across 8 states and include vintage multifamily units, mixed-use complexes, storage facilities, and more. Well, Ari, welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your story, where you're from, and how you got started in real estate. Just give us a little background on you.
Yeah, I'm happy to do it. You know, my dad was an Iranian immigrant. You know, pretty much everybody in my family has either PhDs or doctorate. I'm pretty much the dumb one in the family. You know, my uncle is the director of the National Science Foundation. And before the revolution in Iran, they had come over here. My uncles and aunt had come over to study in Austin. And the revolution broke out when they were there. And my grandfather was a very, very famous physician, a psychiatrist, actually, in Iran. And they were able to escape. We weren't Muslim. And as the regime took over, they kind of started over here in Austin, Texas, and kind of flipped burgers through high school at Johnny Rockets. If those of you know Johnny Rockets.
Sure, of course.
It's my kind of town, to catch up bottles and, you know, in high school, delivered pizzas through college. Took me 2 community colleges before I got into Texas A&M. I was an English major, graduated top of my class, and didn't want to go to law school. But my father's exact words were to me were, after you become an attorney, you can be an exotic dancer for all I care. So what he didn't say is I couldn't start my real estate investment business when in law school. So I borrowed $3,000 from a friend of mine's father, who's still a dear friend to this day, and used my scholarship money while I was in law school at St. Mary's down in San Antonio, Texas, and partnered with a local developer who is pretty much building everything in the area. And if we know the year, it was 2005 when I started law school. And we started building single family homes. So every morning I was on the build site, pouring concrete, tying rebar, putting up sheetrock, and then, you know, rushing in work boots to law school and studying till, you know, midnight, 2 in the morning, and being back on the build site. And we built a pretty sizable single family portfolio, and we're talking $80,000 interim construction loans, selling houses for $110,000, $115,000 north of San Antonio. And then 2008 hit and the world came to an end. And my partner, you know, who's, very liquid, wonderful man, like I said, still very good friends these days, said, well, look, I'll tell you what, I'll give you all your money back, pay back your investor. You'll have good credit. I'll assume all the loans. I'll be able to hold them, you know, on balance sheet. And, you know, he sold them several years later, made great money. And I moved to Wall Street and had the great fortune of working for some of the greatest minds, you know, literally in real estate. My wrestling coach growing up, and by the way, I was a terrible wrestler. You know, one of my best friends still to this day of 30 years was a 7-time national champion. And on paper, you know, we're the same height, same weight, you know, same everything. And he just basically just beat me up every day. But my wrestling coach's Italian, quote unquote, cousin was the head of all conduit lending at Credit Suisse at the time. They did over $450 billion in lending and kind of gave me the shot and moved me to New York City and introduced me to all of his friends, which were there quite literally the masters of the universe. And I got to cut my teeth while I was there on Wall Street. And after spending about 5 or 6 years, you know, we had had our, you know, our second child and saw the writing on the wall down in Austin, which is my hometown where I was born and raised. You know, after Google Fiber decided to use Austin as the beta test to invest $1 billion of hardware, we started to see a little bit of the writing on the wall. And we're very much a data analytics company, although real estate is what we do. We have, you know, several different verticals, you know, within our real estate practice. You know, our investors are public pension funds, family offices, high net worth individuals, insurance companies, run a highly, highly institutional shop. But now we have a 9-figure balance sheet. You know, we're raising over $1 billion of equity this year to invest predominantly within the Sun Belt. And, you know, kind of see the different verticals all the way from master plan developments just south of Austin, building, you know, 1,200 homes for rental, for single family rental, 900 multi-units and a slew of other deals. You know, we're partners on a development deal with Resmark, which is backed by CalSTRS, you know, all the way to doctors and lawyers that, you know, helped me and believed in me early on. And you know, we're headed to break $1 billion in this year, and I never sold any equity at the corporate level. So still own 100% of the company at the corporate level and have brought people in on a deal by deal basis. But we're launching a REIT and an institutional fund this year that's getting massive, massive interest, which we look to close over the next 6 to 7 months and kind of keep it running.
Wow, that sounds exciting. And now you're based in Austin?
We're based in Austin. Yeah, our headquarters are in Austin. But as you kind of mentioned before, if you look at our audited track record, you know, we've invested and exited successfully in 38 cities, 12 states, 7 asset classes, and 2 countries. So, you know, we're breaking ground on over 550,000 square feet of industrial. Very, very close to Tesla's 2,000 acres here in Austin. We're building a big industrial complex. We have a big master plan community. We're building an office building in downtown Austin. That's kind of a post-COVID futuristic kind of strategy where the windows open with HEPA filters and kind of UV lights for the post-COVID kind of world. We're building 104 condos on South First, just outside of downtown Austin, outside the urban core, and 60 condos in downtown Phoenix, all breaking ground in under 12 months.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. This office building sounds intriguing, definitely. You know, we're right now, so many people are struggling to keep tenants in their buildings. How are you expected to market that?
You know, it's very much, you know, we've always taken a contrarian approach. Like, for example, you know, we were buying self-storage back in, you know, 2015. And, you know, when people were like, okay, so you're buying a shed, you know, like, I don't really get it. But, you know, it's not exactly the sexiest asset. But I'll tell you, the financial statements were pretty sexy. And then people started to get into self-storage. We sold our positions and did well. You know, I'm very much a singles and doubles guy. You know, the mantra has always been just don't lose money. As Warren Buffett says, the first rule is don't lose money. And the second rule is don't forget the first rule. And, you know, and people come to us for capital preservation more so than anything, not to, you know, if you're looking for 30 and 40 and 50 IRRs or, you know, that kind of stuff, I'm not your guy. They come to us for safety and security and the data and the analytics that we bring. And we have a very, very deep bench of, you know, seasoned veterans. You know, one of the guys on our development team quite literally has built more real estate than anybody in the United States of America. And our president, Neil Golden, was the vice chairman of Newmark. Before that, he built Studley. So this is his third billion-dollar company that he's building with us. And we just have some incredibly smart people around us, but we're seeding different verticals. And we used Austin as our prototype to have a master plan development vertical and figure that thing out, which is going great. The industrial, because when you look at the Sun Belt, which is our main focus, which are technology centered, you know, capitalizing on the migration exodus out of the East Coast, the Californias and the New Yorks into cities like Nashville, you know, Austin, Raleigh, Charlotte, Tampa, St. Pete, you know, Phoenix, Arizona, you know, that's really where our focus is. And yeah, so it's pretty simple. You know, simple, not necessarily easy. It's a lot of work. And our strategy has always been, you know, buy things that are bigger than what local investors can afford, but smaller than PE, and then aggregate them into lump sums. And then, you know, the large, you know, larger institutions that I'm very, very close with, you know, name any of the biggest names in real estate. You know, I'm very, very close with them. They've been mentors of mine, LPs of mine. And they'll pay a premium, you know, for that type of geographic and price point diversity. So that's been our strategy.
And you talk about a technology-driven investment approach. Can you elaborate a little bit on what you mean by that?
Yeah. So I'm the oldest millennial, okay, which is kind of a funny thing. So I'm really a cusp baby at 38 years old. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I kind of see myself on a technology as the API plug-in between the older generation, be able to speak their language, being formally educated, you know, speaking multiple languages, understanding the math, spending time on Wall Street, but, you know, really marrying pop culture, you know, with real estate has been very much our mandate. Our investors range, as I mentioned, our bulk of our money is institutional, but we also have some of the biggest artists, athletes, celebrities, rappers, singers in the world that are also our investors, and just being very disruptive. And so if you look at the technology that we built, one piece of technology in particular that I built called Transferency, which is basically transparency plus fairness equals transferency, which will bring investor relations into the 21st century. And what I mean by that is it'll be a white labeled solution that I built for myself, because I have a very close relationship with my investors, to where you'll have a 128-bit encrypted app on your mobile device that at any moment you can log into it and be able to see the renovations of multifamily, just as an example, in real time through the usage of Nest Cams, the usage of multimedia. So just think kind of a private Instagram or Facebook, so that for the very first time, investors will really be able to see in real time on their time, you know, when, you know, how the renovations or how the properties are actually being managed, whether it's me talking, walking into a property and saying, hey, we just, you know, renovated unit 107. Here's the flooring, or one of our property managers, because we're vertically integrated. We own the whole ecosystem. Because there was a staggering statistic that really blew my mind, because although we have, you know, 5 years audited financials, you know, with one of the biggest auditors in the world, Eisner Amper, that at one point was doing Blackstone's audits on the private placement side, having a third party fund administrator, you know, very institutional risk controls. You know, when I looked at the data room where we upload our quarterly reports, we realized that only 10% of our investors were opening up their quarterly reports. And so instead of saying, okay, well, they're not reading them, I wanted to figure out a better way to share the information with them, you know, in a way that they could digest. And so out of the 10% of people that opened up the quarterly reports, they were spending between 5 to 25 seconds reading the quarterly reports. So when you look at a P&L and a balance sheet and, you know, all the data that goes in a quarterly report, you can't even read the first paragraph in that time. So so we created something that was more palatable for them to really digest and bring this unprecedented level of transparency or transparency, so to speak, to a business that has been traditionally very opaque.
That's great. That's great. You know, it's, you started off in, gosh, it sounds like, you know, putting out a tool belt and going out there and working on single family homes. Did you, at that time, did you see this as going to be your future, that this is very deliberate, that you wanted to move in that direction?
Yes. I knew since I was a kid I was going to be in real estate. My grandfather was a big inspiration to me. I mean, he had 7 gold medals in the Iranian National Olympics. You know, he spoke fluent French. I mean, he was just a huge individual. I mean, just unbelievable man, so much of a Renaissance man. And I got to spend a lot of time with him before he passed away. And he quite literally died in my arms. And, you know, him and my father were, you know, very much my heroes. And, you know, he believed in real estate, believed in land, and I wanted to be a doctor like him. And he vehemently kind of 86'd that and said, nope, you're going to buy all these big buildings and they're not making any more land. And America is the greatest country on earth. And this is the place to do it. And I put my name on the door for him, you know.
Wow,
and,
that's neat.
Yeah. And so it was something that's very personal for me, very, very personal for me.
Ah, that's awesome. Neat story.
But I knew at a very young age this was what I was going to do. I didn't even want to go to college, between you and I and my Iranian father, that, you know, those of you that know Iranian culture, it's either doctor, lawyer, or engineer,
right,
are the only options. And, you know, so I did that. So very, very formally educated in that regard, and very much still a book nerd. And but being a cusp baby, understanding technology, you know, the joke at Rastigar is that light bulbs don't go out of Rastigar buildings. Mm-hmm. And that's because of the computer chips and the technology that we built into these systems, and the smart technology, the HEPA filters, the keyless entry, you know, being able to, you know, having the, you know, the Nest, you know, AC units you control from your phone, but really being at the bleeding edge of where we're going in this post-COVID world, and investing heavily in what we call vintage multifamily. And vintage kind of playing on the wine analogy of kind of A-plus locations outside the urban core. Okay. So we call it the $5 Uber ride. So if you're within a $5 Uber ride of all the fun stuff, a lot of these vintage apartment complexes are 2 and 3 story walk-ups. So they have inherent social distancing. So there's a lot of safety there. So during the height of COVID, we had more applications than we had ever had ever, because people felt safe being in these things, because they don't have, you know, the gym. A lot of them don't have pools. They don't have elevators, which was a knock 2 years ago. But now it's become something that has garnered a premium, because they can still access the urban core, access all the fun amenities. And we take these properties down to the studs, replace all the, you know, everything you can imagine, the roofing, the sheetrock, and truly deliver a class A experience for a cheaper price than the new construction across the street, effectively.
Interesting. How old are those buildings generally?
They're 30 to 40 years. Some of them are 20 years old, mm-hmm. You know, needing significant, you know, deferred maintenance work, which is what we do. And, you know, coming from a background of understanding how to do the work. Thank God we have, you know, great contractors that are, you know, kind of better than me, but I cut my teeth on being able to do that work. So worst case scenario, I could do all the work myself if no one else showed up to work one day.
Well, you know, you have just such a broad background, a lot of different asset classes. It's pretty impressive. But, you know, on the real estate investing side, everybody learns through through processes, right? And we make our mistakes and so forth. What early mistake did you make that is something you learned from that you were able to sort of turn around and as you move forward to help propel you?
Well, how many hours do you have?
Only the biggest one, you know, just the biggest mistake.
Well, look, I mean, there's so many. And my book comes out in May or June. We haven't decided when it's going to come out. But the name of the book is The Gift of Failure.
Great name. Great. Man, you could take this show on, couldn't you?
and so you'll read the book, and it only talks about the failures and the ability to have introspection within those failures. And I'm a big student of Tony Robbins and Napoleon Hill and all the self-help books and Dale Carnegie, but bringing that Dalio Bridgewater-esque introspection, those failures, and finding the gem or the jewel or the seed of success that exists within each one of those failures. And a lot of times, me included, early in my career, you know, my ego didn't let me look at those failures with objective eyes, and surrounding myself with believable people and with a robust team. You know, very rarely will you ever hear me talking about making money. You know, what we do, and when we do our stress tests, do our analyses, it's all about what are all the scenarios that we can lose money. And really, really understanding the downside risk and really being a risk manager is the crux and the core value of what we've done. Using technology and all the resources at our disposal, using traditional underwriting methods in addition to technology, artificial intelligence, machine learning to make better investment decisions.
Got it. Sounds like you kind of addressed my next question, was what would you say your biggest success was in the process that's really helped you move forward?
My biggest success is my family. You know, we have three beautiful children, and, you know, and it made me a better investor, because before it was all about me. And then after my children were born, you know, one by one, everything became on their timeline, which made me more patient. And, you know, I'm about contribution and doing great work. And we've heard this word conscious capitalism thrown around a lot, which has become a little bit cliched, but we're very much conscious capitalists. Okay. And, you know, the word gentrification, you know, you hear thrown around in cities like Austin and Nashville and Brooklyn and all these things. And we believe in community enhancement. And if we can, you know, build a building or renovate a building that we believe the community really needs, you know, our future, you know, purchasers, you know, have value. Those are the types of projects that we're after. And, you know, we're not out here to squeeze every, you know, penny out of every single deal. We want to make good risk-adjusted returns. But, you know, the old saying on Wall Street is bulls make money, bears make money, but pigs get slaughtered. So for us, it's all about capital preservation.
Got it. Well, our audience are folks that generally are 50 years of age and older. We have, you know, a lot of younger people that listen, but our target audience is really that group that are approaching retirement or they're already in retirement, and they're looking at real estate investing as a means to either, you know, grow their wealth, preserve their wealth, you know, maybe even a place to go once they're retired, so that, you know, maybe they can get involved in buying rental property.
That's what we do. And then that's what we do. And we have investors that are in their 80s that just want very safe investments, passive income. We do a lot of IRA rollovers and 401k rollovers. And we're very, very familiar with that. And believe it or not, a lot of the bigger smart money, you know, they're looking for that current yield because there's no yield in this world right now, right? And our specialty is yield, you know, and creating yield is a difficult feat in this market, but, you know, it's kind of good old fashioned hard work, right? And we do more deals during COVID. I don't even know what the number is, but I want to say we did 9 deals during COVID. So, you know, it's something for us that, you know, being able to help these folks, whether it's the pensioners that are behind these boards, a lot of times, like if you look at a CalPERS as an example, or a Texas Teachers. I mean, these are teachers. These are real people that are behind these things. That's something we take very, very seriously to make sure that first we're preserving the capital and creating, you know, good current yield that, you know, a lot of times they use for retirement.
Gotcha. What excites you about your business? What coming up that's really something that just it gets you just really charged up?
Yeah, well, what all does? I mean, you know, for me, this is who I am, you know, and in my business world, you know, I'm a risk manager. You know, that's what I do for a living. I assess risk. But in my heart, I'm an artist. And so a lot of these buildings, we have in-house architecture, you know, we're sketching, conceptualizing these buildings, but I'm very excited about our master plan development just south of Austin to really build, you know, what we're dubbing futuristic suburbanism and what the future of housing is going to be. And I'll give you an example, like, you know, in the previous generations, there were dining rooms, right? And now people eat in the kitchen. And so building larger kitchens and eliminating dining rooms and really being on the bleeding edge of what millennials and Gen Z and the future of people, you know, what they really need with the advent of technology and what rooms they're using. And I'm excited about our office building on East 8th and downtown because it's only two stories, 26,000 square feet. Right on I-35 Frontage Road, which has 70 million people a year that pass by it. But be very cognizant of this post-COVID world and putting all those mechanisms in place, whether it's touchless entry and, you know, taking wellness and safety very, very seriously and designing the buildings and designing the renovations around that core value.
Great. Are you kind of looking at, I think, what is it called, Space Park City that Elon Musk is going to be developing in Austin area?
Yeah, you know.
Are you going to be doing development there?
Yeah, he's doing a lot of great stuff. You know, Elon, what I like about him is he's moving the world forward and, you know, he's doing things that are thinking 30, 50, 100 years in the future. And I have a lot of respect for Elon. And as you know, Oracle moved their headquarters to Austin recently. And, you know, a lot of folks don't really get that the world runs on Oracle. Like, you can't go to a restaurant and order food without Oracle software, right? And so our development for the industrial development, because in cities that are growing, you have to have very strong kind of logistical backbones. So we have a series of verticals, right? And so in Austin, we used Austin as a prototype to have, you know, vintage multifamily, prove out that this, prove that the map plan community, prove the thesis on the office, prove out the thesis, you know, around industrial, and then take those things that we've learned and then spread them all across the Sun Belt in, you know, in technology centered, you know, cities that have massively growing populations.
Hmm. And do you have a one particular asset class that we're really focused on right now?
Yes. And the asset class the two asset classes that we're very focused on are industrial. Mm-hmm. Because especially if these cities are growing, and multifamily. Those are the two asset classes that we are most focused on. Although we are, you know, investment agnostic, and it's about deep value. And if we know that we can create value, we're agnostic when it comes to that. And we have several verticals that we're basically seeding, as I mentioned, prototyping, understanding. But our main focus is around multifamily, namely kind of value add multifamily and industrial.
Are you looking at any kind of repurposing projects? I know there's a lot of retail that got hit real hard and office buildings. Yeah.
We are. And we're looking at all those things. And it comes down to, so there's some office buildings that have some vacancies that we're looking to convert parts of those vacancies into multifamily. You know, people think, you know, looking outside the box, you know, I don't really see a box. You know, it's all about just delivering a better end user experience. And that's what I'm obsessed with. You know, Jeff Bezos talks about two different types of investors. There's mercenaries and missionaries. And this is very much a mission for us, and something that we are just obsessed with our customers. And as long as we can, you know, deliver that, whether that's our investors, whether our end user tenants, we want to make sure that we're delivering an outstanding experience all the way from investor relations and all the way to the experience they have of being our tenants. And in our multifamily, we don't call them tenants, we call them neighbors.
I like that. Well, time is zipping by. We have a session we call our wrap it up session. I ask you a series of quick questions of resources that have been valuable to you, and you just give me, you know, your quick response in each of these categories. If you're ready, we can go ahead. It's sort of a lightning round. If you're ready, we can go ahead
Let's do it.
And do it. All right. Favorite real estate book?
That's a tough one. There's so many, because I mean we're value investors as a general rule. You know, I did grow up reading Rich Dad Poor Dad, which was very, you know, influential for me early, just conceptualizing it. But The Intelligent Investor, written by Benjamin Graham, was very influential for me to understanding value investing, which Warren Buffett always speaks about. And it doesn't matter the type of investment. It's all about creating value and finding deep value. I'm a big student of Think and Grow Rich in general, and goal setting, and, you know, really knowing where you're going. But I'm also very, very big into health and wellness. So the congruency around the business and the health is very, very important. So I take my health very, very seriously, and the vitamins I take. I'm big into transcendental meditation, which Ray Dalio, they asked him what was the number one thing that's influenced his life and, you know, allowed him to run probably the most successful and largest hedge fund in the world. And he said transcendental meditation. So I learned that, and that's brought me some equanimity and brought me some calmness, and something that I very much ascribe to, because, you know, you are really an extension of your business. You know, so think of yourself as, you know, the tree trunk, and then the business is an extension of that. The culture is an extension of that. So I take that wellness health approach very seriously for my own personal life, and that transcends into how the business is run.
Got it. Well, let me just continue with this, wrap it up as best I can here. Also, most valuable website for success.
Most valuable website for success is YouTube, because it's free. and you can literally get on YouTube and take MIT classes and watch the greatest professors in the world talk. You're not getting course credit, but using that resource, which I do, you know, almost every day, and listen to some of the greatest minds in the world on YouTube for free. It's amazing how much you can learn and how much is available on the internet. And so we're in the greatest time in the history of mankind. If you want to learn, you know, if you want to get a degree, well, that's a different discussion. But for me, I'm curious. I want to learn. And I think YouTube is the most important place to do that.
Excellent. Hey, do you have a favorite app on your phone?
A favorite app on my phone? I probably use Slack more than anything. And in the advent of COVID, I use Zoom a lot, as I'm sure a lot of people do, as well as Skype. But I like Slack because it very much allows us to communicate as a firm and stay cohesive and kind of keep things in one place. But, you know, one thing funny about Ari is I actually don't own a computer. So I actually run the entire firm from my iPhone.
Crazy. That's wild, man. Oh, how about a favorite quote?
Favorite quote? Well, for an English major that reads 10 to 15 books a week, that's a difficult question. But I'll tell you one of my creeds. It's by Benjamin Franklin. He said, "Be at peace with your neighbors, be at war with your vices, and every year find yourself a better man or woman or whatever pronoun that you go by." But for me, it's every year to find myself a better man.
Awesome. And this is a final question here. You sound like an innovative guy. Let's say you absolutely lost everything, every asset, every dollar you have, except for $1,000 in cash in your hand, knowing what you already know. What would you do with that $1,000 to rebuild your real estate business?
We'd be back exactly where we are within a year, because they can't take my brain.
All right. So you just, what would you do specifically?
Specifically, I'd probably take the $1,000 and make sure that my kids have a good place to live and they're comfortable. And I'd probably take a little corner, maybe the closet, which actually used to be my office not many years ago, and get back to work.
I love it. All right. Well, I'm sure there's plenty of people listening that'd like to find out more about you, your business, what you do. Well, what's the best way for folks to find that information?
It's very, very easy to find me. I mean, we've been in, you know, I think we've been in Forbes 30 or 40 times. I have a column in Forbes just in the past few months, Wall Street Journal, New York Times. It's all over. If you just Google Ari Rastegar or Rastegar Property Company, you can find more than you would ever want to know. And go to our website, fill out the contact form if they're interested. But if you want to find me, it's very, very easy just to type my name in and you'll see thousands of articles.
All right. Well, we have a tradition here. We are called the Old Dogs REI Network, and we have all of our guests that have been on the show to close us out with their best old hound dog howl. Now, you live in Texas, so I know, you know, there's a lot of hound dogs walk around in Texas. Are you ready to close us out that way?
Ow, ow, ow!
I'll take that as a yes. All right, Ari. Man, thank you so much for being on. It has been an absolute pleasure. A lot of great, great information here.
Thanks so much for having me. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Take care. Well, that is the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.